Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
What I want you to do this morning is grab your Bibles and turn to Jude. It's only got one chapter, and we're going to just take one verse out of Jude, and then we're going to walk through a couple of passages of Scripture together today. I want to just share a couple of stories and share an experience that I've been having in the last little while, and I pray that this blesses you. And let me just start with this. Believe in this season right now, like never before, that God is putting a steel rod up our backs. And that is to be able to stand in the midst of a storm and not to give in to all of that the enemy has or all the enemy is trying to do, but to keep our focus, even in the middle of a blinding storm, to keep our focus on Jesus. You know, there's such important just to realize that the rudder of our lives is the Holy Spirit. The rudder of our lives is the Holy Spirit. And when we put anything else to guide us, anyone else to guide us, then we end up shipwrecked. We end up in a bad place. We end up in a bad spot. And, you know, it's something to realize. I ask myself continuously at different times of saying, Rod, who is the rudder of your life? Who is guiding? Who is leading? Who is shaping? And it's always a matter for me of going back and going, Holy Spirit, if there's any way in which that I have taken over the steering of my life, and then, Lord, I just give this back to you. God, I want you to guide me and lead me and direct me. I have your Bible ready. We're going to go over to Numbers as well, and we're going to go around a few different places today. But I don't know if any of you have been to Pigeon Forge, but Gatlinburg, that area, just love it. I love going down there. We missed out on an opportunity last year to be able to go down with family, with everything is going on, and yet the different other times that I have been down there, and we love to take in the shows. And Pastor Jay, there was this show that we took in, and you know, some of them, it's funny how you can get tickets, and some of the shows are this price. It's quite a large price for some of them, right? But what I found funny was, as you go to buy the ticket, you can purchase this show, and this show for this reduced price. So there was this headline show that they had, and I felt bad if I was like the other shows, and they were like, you know, instead of being $45, they were $19.95, you know, in there, whatever it would be. And there was this show that we went to see, and this was a magician, and don't freak out, okay, those of you that would like to do that in there, it's just we were going, and it's just illusions and different things that was going on. We went down to see, and the reason I went is because I saw a tiger. Just love tigers, okay? I think tigers are one of the most cool things they mesmerize me to look at tigers. Well, this show, the guy warned us in the very beginning, he said, so this is a brand new show. Whenever anybody says that, you know that they're setting you up just so that you won't be too disappointed. And he said, it's a brand new show. And then he said, we're still working out the bugs. Well, I don't think you're supposed to laugh at magic shows. I don't think that's the intent, right? In there. And so what would happen is, you see, is we're watching this show and the distraction didn't work. You were supposed to look over here at this distraction, and then boom, he was doing this over here. Well, the distractions were off time. They weren't working, and you were just looking over there, and then boom, here comes the tiger, and then boom, over there, and he was just... And, you know, it was like, okay, this is the first show of the day for him. And you're thinking, you know, I don't know if I've ever interceded at a magic show before, but, you know, my heart felt for this guy. And you know, and it was, there was some good stuff and there was funny things and all this stuff that was in there. But you know, it's amazing, right? What was missing was the distraction. And you saw what was really going on because the distraction was missing. And I think right now in this season, what has happened, though, is that the enemy has come with great distraction. And what we're doing is if we become engrossed in the distraction, we're going to miss what God is doing. And you see, what happens is, I believe with all my heart right now that God is ready, and we're going to see, and I had a few people that have confirmed this with me, and this is what the Lord is saying to them as well, is that we're just on the verge of having this outpouring of the Holy Spirit and this new sense, but not just having this in a building, but having this everywhere we go, that we are these living epistles, that everywhere we walk, that the power of the Holy Spirit gets poured out into our lives, and that we begin to see, again, this sense of what it's like and to live in the book of Acts, to be a part of the book of Acts, not just to read the book of Acts, but to actually be one of the stories, if you shall we say, that is in the book of Acts. And yet, in the midst of what God is about to do and wants to do, and this pouring out that I believe that is on it's even, we're in the midst of it right now, because I have been experiencing some things that I've not experienced before. And you know me, if those of you that know me and know me a while, I have experienced some crazy stuff. And yet, for me, I've been experiencing a few things that I want to talk about in just a minute, but just finishing up on this sense of distraction. You see, I had a vision just standing over here at the front of our church when, in the midst of COVID, when we were allowed to meet, and it was a Wednesday night, and I probably have shared this two or three times, and it's the only thing that I've been allowed to share up until January, when I woke up and the Lord said, okay, I'm now going to open your mouth in this next season, and because you were faithful to shut it in the season before. And I tell you, if you ever want to do something hard to a prophet or to a prophetic person, boy, tell them to be quiet. Tell them to be quiet when there's so much to say. And I tell you, you get tested, because it's not about, you know, because when you're quiet, okay, because that was the whole word was this, was Rod, I need you to be quiet over this season. I need you to, and it wasn't so nice and sweet. It was a warning for me to keep my mouth shut. And in the midst of all of this, we see that obedience to God is key in this season that we're in right now. And when I began to woke up this year in the very beginning of January, I think it was the second or third day in January, and I heard the Lord tell me to go to a certain scripture, and he took me to this passage, and I'll go through this at another time, but it was a releasing of what he was about to do. And then this thing began to happen, where I began to find myself in weeping. And it was the strangest thing. I have cried before. I have been around criers before. I have been in the presence of God and began to weep. And yet this was happening at the strangest times. It was happening just in the midst of sitting in my room. It was happening while I was building in something in my shed. It began to happen when I went to the store. Oh my, Pastor Jay, you're standing in the store and you're in the aisle, and you're just picking out something, and all of a sudden the tears start to come, and you're looking for the fastest exit that you can find in the midst of this. But because you don't, again, someone would say, it's okay, Rod, Pastor Rod, it's just the presence of God, it's okay, it's okay. This was a weeping that was more than just I've had weeping in the presence of God that has been from a sense of joy. And then this weeping, though, is a deep sorrow. And it was, God began to take me through these things. And so I just want to share with you just a little bit about this particular part of what this weeping was. And really, as I said, this heavy distraction right now. Now, when I say heavy distraction, I don't mean that COVID's not real. I had the opportunity to have somebody share with me just recently, and this individual, which I won't name them, but they were sharing with me about three people that they personally knew that have been drastically affected by COVID. One of them, in fact, had passed away this was a young man, had passed away in their house by themselves. I tell you, that day, sitting there listening to this man, I realized how many souls have been lost. How many souls have been lost while we're telling people just to take chicken noodle soup for it? Can I be blunt? I know that the vast majority in all of this have simply had probably an extreme cold and extreme difficulties and have recovered. I understand that. But that day when he told me of three different people that he knows personally, this is not someone that is just a storyteller. It just did something inside of me. It clicked inside of me. And, you know, I began to go home even in those times, and the Lord has just begun to pour out of me this weeping. And this weeping is something that sometimes I can't even function. So pray for me even as I'm trying to deliver this, and that the Lord would be honored in what I say today. But I say it to you this way. I believe that we are on the verge. Again, I don't like that word at times because it's almost a cop-out in this, where we say verge, meaning that it could happen at any time. But I'm telling you, Holy Spirit is stirring. There is a turning from chaos into order. You go through Genesis and you see that the great chaos that was all over the world at that time, all over the earth at that time, and then the Holy Spirit began, he was brooding over the earth at that time. And then when God began to speak, everything began to change. And the chaos began to change by the words that were spoken out of the mouth of God. I believe that in this season in our own lives, that the words that we speak out of our mouth, they can either basically introduce chaos into situations, or they can begin to move chaos into order. That we have a powerful voice to begin to use. And this voice, there is requirements upon this voice. There are things, and again, as I talked about with this distraction that's there, and this vision, getting back to it, that I saw, and that it was a vision in heaven. It was so real, so unbelievably real. In fact, that night Karen had to drive home because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get home from that Wednesday night prayer meeting. And in that vision, I saw heaven, and heaven was moving around, and they were walking here and there, and there was no panic, and there was no five alarm fires. And I asked almost with an offense in my voice, don't you know what's happening in the world right now? Don't you know what's happening in the earth right now? And he looked directly right at me. And this one said, yes, that's already been prepared for. That's already been prepared for. Everything you need has already been prepared for. And then I began to sit there and I watched them as they walked around. And there was this crazy thing that was happening and it was so hard for my mind to understand what my spirit was seeing, because they had an ability to stay focused on the Lamb. They never took their eyes off of Jesus. But at the same time, they were walking here and there, and they were doing what their assignments were that day. It was a strange sight to be able to know that my mind couldn't see that, because it's not possible in my mind to be able to look here and to go over here all at the same time. But my spirit knew that their eyes never looked away from the Lamb as they were doing what they were called to do. And then there was more to that vision, but that's where I'll just leave it there at this moment. So I believe right now that this heavy distraction that we're seeing, again, that there is so much demonic intent in the middle of all of this, that the enemy is trying to bring such distraction that we will miss and see what God is doing in the midst of it. See, because he can't stop God. Come on now, think about it. He can't stop God. He's defeated. He can't stop God from doing what he chooses to do. And in the midst of all of this, all he can do then is bring heavy distraction in the midst of it. And I want to just share with you right now just three things that I believe that the Lord has showed me that have caused me to weep like I've never wept before. And these three things are three distractions that are been released in the world today. And we can look over it. Go with me to Jude chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 11. And verse 11, I don't have time this morning to read all the rest of the verses that are there before this, but it says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and they have perished in the rebellion of Korah. So these are these three spirits, really, that have been released into the atmosphere that are causing such unbelievable distraction and that are tearing at the very fiber of the body of Christ. That we're seeing right now that those that have walked together for a long time being ripped apart. Good people. Hear me now. Good people that have been ripped apart. You know, and if anyone thinks that, you know, you're sitting on your couch right now and you're going and you're thinking you have names flying through your head, I'm going to challenge you to swipe to the left with those names and just begin to put your own in there. Because this is a message to me. All of these fingers are pointing at me. Because when Paul talks to the church in Corinthians about the fact of tearing down strongholds, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. And we can be subject. And you say, oh, not me. No. Every single one of us can be subject to these things at certain levels of certain times in our lives. And here they are. I just want to run through them. I'll give them three of them to you again. We just read them. And they are the spirit of Korah, the spirit of Balaam, and the spirit of Cain. And I would say that they are the pollutions or the diseases, really, in that way, that have begun to change the way we think. They have begun to try to turn so that the focus is on these things and these distractions that are there that are causing us to see such tearing in the body of Christ right now. But there is hope in the end of this, so please stay with me as I walk through this. So when I think of, again, looking at, turn with me over to Numbers chapter 16, and we're going to go through a few of these as individuals. So let's look at the last one first, and it's the spirit of Korah that has been released right now. And, you know, again, let me just find it myself. In November, yeah, that's good, Rod. November, go over to November chapter, yes, Numbers. There we go. Numbers chapter 16, Lord help. Okay, I should have had these marked in there. And it's verses 1 to 3 right now. We'll just start with those ones in this. But before we do, I want to give you two keys whenever you look at this scripture. And one of them is a caution. Both of them really are cautions or warnings. Whenever we look at this scripture, it's important to do this. Don't go too far and don't sugarcoat it. These are very, very important when we look at this story. In other words, don't go too far, because what has happened many times when we look at questions do not always mean rebellion. Someone who questions something doesn't always mean rebellion. And this particular scripture has been used so many times down the centuries to control good people that are simply asking difficult questions. So that's not what I'm speaking about here in this moment. Now, the other thing in the midst of this, though, is when I, not only not to go too far with it, but don't sugarcoat it, because this is absolute nothing but rebellion. And we're going to see what happens in this story. So let's look at chapter 16, verses 1 to 3 just right now. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan. Now remember these names. Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up against Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. Listen to that word, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" And there's much more to this story in here, but we're just going to look at this particular part here. When we look and see, this is so basically what happens is this, is that Korah and Dathan and Abiram, they come and they have a complaint and they gather together. And this is what this spirit does. It gathers together people. Now listen, it didn't say of ill repute, let's say. It didn't say nasty ones. It didn't say complainers and it said renown. Those that were known. These are leaders in the midst of this. But in the midst of all of this, they begin to listen. And this spirit that was released, it's the same spirit that we see that begins to function in Absalom when he's sitting at the gates of the city, entertaining people to come and complain to them about what David's doing. And really, what about David's not doing? This is what the complaint was in that sign. It wasn't even a fact of an attack as much as David wasn't doing, or was doing, sorry. It was about what David wasn't doing. And all of these, there was this gathering of this together. And you see, this is what begins to happen when the spirit is released. And if you think you are immune, I would ask you the question. Because I know that God has even looked at me and dealt with me. Because when I begin to go through this, I'm like, Lord. And then all of, you know, I'm like, really? Have I? And then he began to remind me of times in my life where I've let my mouth run off about something that I did not like. And it turned from the fact that I wasn't asking questions to the individual. Do you know, I just got to pause here. I don't like flattery. So Pastor Jay, this isn't flattery, okay? But I don't know many more pastors that have said to me, there's been a couple, but have said to me, if you got a problem, come talk to me. Come talk to me. Let's discuss it. Oftentimes, that was just something that would be said. But I'm telling you, there is an opportunity to discuss things. But then there is the spirit that simply wants to tear down. And that's what you see here. But Korah, and in their situation, he wasn't even against Moses in this time. What happens in this is Korah is complaining about Aaron. He's actually complaining about the priesthood in the midst of this. Because go to verse 8, if you would. Just go down with me to verse 8. And Moses kind of hits it right on the head. And then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all the brethren, the sons of Levi with you? Are you seeking now the priesthood also?" For Korah, it just wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. And he's just saying, come on now. All of us are part of the holy. And that word holy there, when it says here, you have gone too far. The whole community is holy. Every one of them. That holy is not talking about righteousness there as much as it's talking about separated out. That's what that word there, holy, means. It's the same thing when we talk about anointing oil. It is important that there's a recipe for the anointing oil in the Old Testament. But the oil was simply oil, and the spices were simply spices until they were separated, and that made them holy. And even today, that every one of us, we are separated unto a purpose. Now, I don't want to shock you today with all of this, and I hope that you haven't already turned me off in your mind or your heart. But I can't remember exactly when this was, if this was just when this all this stuff with COVID began, or whether it was just before it. But I walked in the back of the sanctuary, and I tell you, I have written this word down, and I have wrestled with the Lord to ask him that if I could just not say this. It never works. He's always right. And we just, and there is a sense in me, so I will just say it. I walked in the back door over there. I leaned over against this railing and I heard the Lord say, "My people don't know their place." And I went, ooh, that's not a nice phrase. If I was to say that, Lord, that'd sound arrogant. That sounds like I'm pushing myself up. Lord, I don't want to say that, because that would sound like we're talking about, you don't know your place. That's not what the Lord was saying. What the Lord was saying in that moment is, you're not happy with what I've asked you to do? This is what I need you to do. Everybody needs to be in their lane doing what God has asked them to do. Focused on what he's asked you to do. You know, it's important that I recognize in my life that there's certain things that I'm called to do. And there's a call upon my life that others have looked at times and went, you know, Pastor Rod, you could go off and start your own ministry. You could do this and you could do that. I have had people walk up to me and say, Pastor Rod, why don't you just go start your own ministry? And it's like, because number one, that's not what God told me to do. But number two, you got to know what you're called to do. And my life is been spent and has been spent and will be spent serving those that are around me. Serving those that are called. If you want to be a prophetic person, if you want to be, as we would say, a prophet, then your life is there as a life of service. You lay down your life for everyone that is around you. Everyone. Everyone. Because the life of someone who is prophetic is a life that is filled with intercession. So we see for Korah that it was about wanting something that God didn't give him. It was this sense of tearing then down Aaron. And we know the rest of the story that God tells Moses to take a stick basically from all these 12 tribes and to these 12 leaders. And then it says, take Aaron's stick. And it was these rods that had no life in them. They're completely dead. They're old. If you know anything about good wood, it's got to be dried out. There can't be any life left into it. If you try to build something out of wood that's still wet, it will crack on you. And it really is a terrible experience. I know from firsthand. But it's something, though, where he takes these rods, sticks them where God had told him to do this, and basically Aaron's rod buds, to really shorten up this story. And in this moment, we see that Aaron is a chosen one. And we looked at all of this, and you say, Pastor Rod, why are we talking about this right now? You see, there is this shocking brazenness right now in this atmosphere that I'm not even talking about pastors right now and leaders. I'm even talking about your places of work and your bosses and those that lead you and those that are trying to guide you, those that maybe that they are your right-hand man at the work, or they are the one that, I can't even remember the phrase, the name of it right now, but someone who basically, he leads that crew, okay, at the workplace. But all we do is I see, and even the body of Christ is involved with it, just complaining and whining. Our tongues were not meant to tear each other apart. They were meant to lift each other up. You know, I just need to go on. The spirit of Balaam is simply this, and I will be very short with this one. When we look at this, again, that Jude chapter 1, verse 11, it says, and they rushed for profit into Balaam's error. When I really look at this, if you look at Numbers chapter 22 and up to 24, you can see and you can go through the whole story of Balaam. What's really interesting is, I don't know that if you knew this or not, but you see Balaam, and of course Daniel had a part of this too, Daniel the prophet, but Balaam was from Mesopotamia. And he was literally, when this king called him to come and to curse Israel, he was over 400 miles away at the time. That's over a month's journey one way to get there. And you see, Mesopotamia is really in this place in the east. And it is thought that in the east, when we look at the wise men, where they came from, that the reason why that they knew about all of these things that they knew about is because they were trained and they'd even read some of the prophecies of Balaam. And they'd read the works that were there. And there was this, he was part of all of this. He did amazing things in the beginning, but he wasn't even a Jewish man. But you see, all of a sudden, the spirit of compromise comes at him, and we find out that his character and his integrity were up for sale, and that he really did have a price. We right now in the body of Christ, that we have to have a character and integrity. We have to have it so that our word means something. Our lives must display. And, you know, again, all of these things, if you don't understand, I couldn't even preach last week. I was supposed to preach this message last week, but I was so struggling and so working through these things. And God was even dealing with me with these things in my own life and began to show me. See, there is a sense that your integrity can never be for sale. And you say, well, I don't understand how that could work. It doesn't always mean having to buy something or buy, or even I'm talking about money. Sometimes it's a matter of wanting to be heard. Sometimes all of these things are involved. But I tell you right now that if God tells you to be quiet, be quiet. Let it be your integrity. Let it be your character. Let it be the fact that when you do speak, but if he tells you to stand up, and in this time right now, our voices need to be heard. We need to be a people that stand up, but stand up in righteousness. That as we're standing up and as we're declaring that this isn't right, as we're declaring that this is not holy, that as we're declaring that there's got to be a better way, whatever it might be, we do it in a way that does not go against what our character and our integrity is as the body of Christ. My integrity is not for sale. You know, it's something that it just goes and it doesn't even matter about that. It's something sometimes as simple as the fact that when I'm standing in a group and everybody else is talking about maybe this particular worker, and I remember the times being driving a truck. Boy, I tell you, you want to see your testing. All you truck drivers out there that on a day in and day out that you have to be, you're tested continuously with the language that is around you, with the dirty jokes that are around you, with just sometimes the level of profanity that's sometimes around you. I tell you, I pray for you and I pray that God would put that strength in you to not give into that. Because it's amazing to me that sometimes when you're continuously hearing this garbage and all of a sudden you'll get mad and then this garbage will come out of your mouth. You're like, wow, how did that happen? You see, there's this sense right now in us that we have to be men and women of integrity. And I got to move on with this. The last one is where I wanted to really focus, and that is the spirit of Cain. And if we look at Jude 1 and 11 again, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." So what is the way of Cain? So just like around here so often, we've got to go back to Genesis to find out what the way of Cain is. So go with me over, and we're going to start in Genesis. I wanted to just start in Genesis chapter 2, and really it's written about chapter 2, verse 16. And this is where the Lord is talking to Adam, and this is what he says to him. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And the Lord said to him, just let me stop there for a second. And there's a bunch other that we will read in a second. But when I think of this and think of the way of Cain, we've got to go back and find out a little bit about the prehistory in the midst of this. But if you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, you should have read when I said, for example, from the word that the Lord God commanded the man saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." See, God is a provider. I need you got to hold on to that in the midst of all of this and in the midst of all of this chaos that's going on. And for some reason, some people have been very little affected in their finances, and other people amongst us have been greatly affected in their finances. But you got to hold on to this word. God is a provider, that there is provision for him that he has given to you and that is right there for you. And so when I read this, I read verse 16. When I read that, I see provision. When I see verse 17, though, I don't see restriction. I see protection. And this is this key difference that in the midst of this, when he tells them, eat of all of these, but don't eat that one. This is this protection that God is protecting. You will see that really he is protecting relationship. He is protecting connection. He is protecting family. If you don't know yet, boy, family is so very important to God. Family is how he functions in everything. Family is who he prophesies into. That we see sometimes a word can be given to one and it can show up two generations later and it can begin to happen another one because it was spoken over a family. And there is this sense of the family of God. That's why he calls himself Father, because he is one who loves family. When we see here, though, we jump over with me. Let's go over to Genesis and get right to chapter 3. And it says this. When we read it, we see now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" And then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." You see that? "For God knows this, in the day of which you eat, and your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. You see, what the point was is that the enemy was trying to make in there. He says, when it says in verse 5, "You will be like God," he's really, the words there mean self-rule, that you will self-rule. You will no longer have to submit to God. And is this thing in, really, when we begin to look at it and we see there's so much more that is in this passage here today. But if we look at what we get all the way to the end, and I've got to skip across something here, but the consequences, or we look at verse 12, and this is what happens. Jump with me to verse 12. "Then the man said, 'The woman whom you have gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate it.'" You see, in this world right now that we're living, there is such a giving up of responsibility. It is a walking away of responsibility. And this spirit of Cain is tied into this. So just remember that in a second. But the consequences of sin in this moment is devastating. And this is what sin has cost them. They have lost their home. They have lost their God provision. Now listen, God was still there. We know that because we can read it later on. But when I say God provision, I talk about the fact of things done from relationship. When we look at that this new way of having to go out now and to work so hard and to begin to plant and to begin to reap, but it's going to be so very difficult. You see, this is a representation of works. And they've moved out of this God relationship, this connection. And then the last thing really was the intimacy with the Father, the closeness. Now, that's not to say that God wasn't there. Because you see later on, we see that he was there and he's still speaking to them. But that intimacy of the garden, you know, there is a fatherlessness that has come across the world right now. This fatherlessness. And it's not that most of these fathers aren't, it's not that they're not there. You know, I realized one day when, 11:33. I realized one day, and it's been a while now, because my little Daniel is all grown up and is married. And but when my little Daniel was about 5, 6, somewhere in around there, and I was in the midst of worship, and I'm one who gets lost in worship. There's a reason why I'm not a worship leader. I wouldn't mind singing and whatnot, but I would get so lost in worship that nobody else would know what they were to do. So we'd have to have a worship leader actually on the platform while I was leading worship, because I just get lost in worship. And this one day, our worship team was leading, and this was not at this church, and I was lost in worship. And the Holy Spirit taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, "Look to the right." And there was Daniel, looking up at me with his hand up in the air, exactly how I was doing it. Exactly how I was doing it. He wasn't just sitting there and, Dad's worshiping, I'm going to worship. He was watching me worship, and he was mimicking me in that time. I have never forgotten his eyes as they were watching what I was doing. In this world right now that is so full of fatherlessness, that the world is watching us. They're watching us. They're looking desperately for hope. They're looking desperately for a different way. They're looking for someone to set an example. They're looking for somebody that they can look over and go, okay, so that's how you do it. That's how you get through the situation. That's how you get through the loneliness. That's how you get through the financial difficulty. That's how you get, and they're longing for someone to tell them. You see, in this moment, we see that the story goes on with Adam and Eve, that they were in sin when it happened, and they go, and what they do is they sew these fig leaves together because they realize that they're naked, and there's shame that comes upon them. And in the situation that God begins, He's such a loving, gracious God, and He loves to ask questions, and He asks them, "Where are you?" It's such a strange question, because He knows where they are. He knows what they're doing. But in many times, the Lord asks us the same question. Where are you right now? You know, there's this sense of that sin can come and see what it is. If I was to put it basically in bluntly for the spirit or the way of Cain, is the way of Cain is, I'm going to do it my way. I am going to do it the way that I want to do it. And I will not submit to anyone, not even God. And this is what has become so rampant in our world right now. And this sense, when I look at the spirit of Cain, I wrote down here, it is this essentially, to ascribe to God what terms that we will come to Him on, to self-determine the sacrifice needed for relationship, the unwillingness to repent. See, in this moment, if you read through his story, and our let me just give you some of this little part in here, that where if you read this, for God knows in the day, and it says the day that you eat it, your eyes will be opened. You know, there is this sense, if we go over to chapter 4 and we see what happens with Cain, it's the same thing. Now, Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and then she conceived and bore Abel. And then this is what happens in verse 3 of chapter 4. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance failed. See, there are many different reasons why that have been placed out there by theologians of why Cain's offering was rejected. And they all have validity. There was absolutely a sense of looking at Cain's heart, that God knew the heart that he was coming with. And we obviously know that God had taught them of what the proper sacrifice would have been. And we look and he decides to come with the fruit of the ground. You see, as a farmer, he was bringing what he had, what he was able to do on his own, what he was able to make. And there was this sense of when God turns to him, he gets so angry when he says, no, that's not right. I don't accept that. You've got to do it. And there is a sense of the right way to do this. And Abel has done it right. And there becomes so much animosity towards Abel, and so much jealousy begins to stir up inside of him. And then this is what the Lord says to Cain. He says here, so the Lord said to Cain, verse 6, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. The Lord has been walking me through the need to go back and open my eyes in my own life and recognize what has become sin. And to allow the Lord to say, Rod, there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way to talk. There's a better way to act. There's a better way. And this sense of holiness has got to begin to return. Now, I'm not talking about, again, something that we earn, but it's someone we are. You see, I would just close with this morning. One last thing about the way of Cain, as described in Jude chapter 1, verse 11. One of the ways of Cain was the refusal to humble himself, unwilling to be reliant on anyone but himself, certainly not willing to be relied on Abel. And you thought I was going to say God in that moment. But you see, what he had to do is he would have had to have gone to Abel and said, I need to purchase a lamb for the sacrifice. And for him, for some reason, in the midst of all of this, he was unwilling to humble himself and to declare his need for one another. You see, sin then was allowed to continue, and it was sitting at his doorstep. And we know that in those moments that it got a hold of him, and such incredible rage and such incredible anger came upon him, and that he took the life of his brother. You see, when I think of these three spirits that have been released upon the earth in the last little season, it's trying to tear the body of Christ apart. But here is what, just simply I will run through it, what the antidote is to all of this. The antidote is simple. That when God says to you, I want you to check your heart, Rod, but you say, yes, Lord. Repentance becomes a way of life again. That humility to recognize your need for others. That in this season, if you don't know how to forgive, you're going to find that bitterness is going to creep up in your life. And it's going to sit at your door waiting to consume you. Because we have to be a people that know how to forgive one another. We've got to walk in integrity and character. And the last thing is this, that God is looking for fathers and mothers who will not give in to those three things, those three spirits, the spirit of Korah, the spirit of Balaam, and the way of Cain, but that they will show the example. So let me ask you right now, I don't usually do this way, but could you just, even where you are right now, could you just close your eyes just for a second? And just you and God, just for a minute. Holy Spirit, I just ask you that if there's anything that we need to repent of today, anything that's sitting right at the door of our heart wanting to consume us, any offense we have with a brother or a sister, the Holy Spirit, you'd show us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to show us if there's anything that we are misrepresenting you in. As my little Daniel was looking up at me that day and mimicking my every move, God, show us, is there something that we are betraying, something that we are portraying that is not like you? And it must stop in our lives. And lastly, I would ask you today, God is looking for mothers and fathers. In this world right now, he is looking for mothers and fathers that will stand up and will be able to push across, put aside the lies of the enemy that tell you and scream at you, saying, you're no good, you can't be a father, you can't be a mother, you're not able to, you know, who are you, who do you think you are to be able to do that? But you push all that aside and you say, God, in this next season, here is my life, that you would help me to be a father or to be a mother to those that are around me, to those that you've placed into my life. Not just my own children, but those that you put around me. Whether You are 21. You can still father. You can still show the way. You can still set the example. You can still breathe life with every one of your words that you have for those that are around you. Pastor Jay, did you have anything you wanted to share? So I just shared with you this, that the other thing that the Lord began to show me was is that he took me into an encounter with him last night sitting on my couch. And he began to pour on me love that just kind of messed me up. And he looked, and in my spirit, it felt like he looked at me and said, "Now love them like this. Every single one of them around you, love them like this. Rod, spend your life. Spend it. Spend it. Don't leave anything behind. Spend every cent of it loving those that are around you. Love them this way. Show them this. And you will see lives begin to change. So I encourage you as well, take time to be alone with the Lord and have him pour out his love upon you. And you will see your community around you begin to be transformed and changed. We love you guys. Blessed. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.